mafia. We are the Lavender Mafia. Oh, we are the Lavender Mafia. We are the Lavender Mafia. Oh.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Jess Grace Garcia, and I am a worship pastor, music producer, filmmaker, and I wonder if anyone else knows this, but I was really into architecture when I was a kid and thought I might be in construction or become an architect, and then gender roles. But yeah, super used to like do connects and all the little things that I loved to do and hide in my brother's room so no one knew.
Here come gender roles to fuck it up for everybody again.
Right. We love it. And you are?
I'm Jack Bates, drag queen, theologian, comedian. And some people talk about their bodies as like temples. I feel like mine is more like a shopping mall. Like, for sure run down, probably haunted. And like,
oh, definitely.
Had a lot more people coming in and out when I was newer.
Oh my God. What's it looking like now? Is it looking like an 80s shopping
now
mall?
It's like hello.
There's like one Subway that's still active.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, did you hear about the shopping mall where they like busted down a wall and there was like an intact, I think it was a Subway restaurant from like 30 years before. Somebody had just like put drywall over the whole fucking thing and just like left it.
Oh my gosh, no. But I want to see every picture possible. I love shit like that.
I just hope the employees were okay after all the time.
Oh no! Like, were it still half-made sandwiches on the like lot?
I wish we had all been ready. Anybody?
Oh, no.
Rapture jokes coming at you.
Oh, my gosh. Have we talked about the rapture? I need to add that to the list.
We never did an episode on it, but it comes up every now and then again.
Oh, it definitely comes up. I feel like we just need to take it head on at some point.
This is starting to sound like an After Dark.
I'm just horny. Don't worry about it. Oh my gosh. Well, Jack, I've missed you. I feel like we haven't talked in like, how long has it been? A month?
Yeah, we're like real close friends who never talk when we're not recording.
Yeah. We just realized, I think, like several years ago that we should always have an audience when we're talking. It's just too entertaining.
Yeah.
How many times did we say, like, before we started recording, why didn't we record that? We should have recorded that. That was good. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So, what are we talking about today?
You should know you thought of it. We're talking about Reconstruction.
Oh, yeah. See, I give all these ideas to Jack sometimes, and I'm like, hey, here's an idea I have. I don't know if it's any good. Should we talk about it?
And the ones that I don't think are good ideas, we never do, and I hope they just forget.
They just disappear into the void.
That's why I managed to keep us from doing a Christian worship episode for so long.
It's seriously true. It is seriously true, guys. I was like, I'm like, hey, can we do that? After I brought it up the third time, that's when they said, all right, let's do it. I'm going to have to deal with some of my trauma.
I mean, speaking of which, this episode also.
I know, right?
So like off the bat, like what do you people mean when they talk about Reconstruction in like faith or other contexts?
I know for me, whenever I reference to it, I kind of reference to it as like the second or the following step of deconstruction. Like I've deconstructed or undone a lot of the like brainwashing and a lot of the specifically like really horrible theology. And then now I have some space to relearn and like figure out what I actually believe. Cause like, I feel like early on in my deconstruction phases, and here's the thing, I think that like deconstruction and reconstruction happens at the same time all the time. But I think like you probably have like a season of a lot of deconstruction and a season of a lot of reconstruction. And for me, when I would get given like really great theology that I now could just, explain easily, when I first get given a specific thought, I'm going like, oh my gosh, that is so different than what I was taught. And it hurts my brain to try and relearn it and like learn something different. So I had to put in the effort to undo some of that harm first in order to make space for the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like maybe an oversimplified way of explaining deconstruction. I'm sure you have a much more academic explanation, but for me, that has been what reconstruction has meant.
Yeah, no, I think that aligns a lot with how, like, I use a term I've heard people using the term. I think in some ways, like, deconstruction is sort of like chucking old beliefs and practices that we realize like either no longer serve us or we realize that they never did.
Right, exactly.
And sometimes when people talk about deconstruction, so listeners will know I tend to have a bit of a chip on my shoulder about things. Sometimes I would just want to say like, so you're changing your beliefs. Like that's literally what all of us are doing all the time. You're not special. But I think that deconstruction usually refers to like a more directed, like more intentional, often kind of wide ranging, like going through the attic of your kind of most closely held beliefs about, you know, God, humanity, the universe, and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, just a couple of things.
Yeah. Just a few of the slightly important beliefs. And like really deciding like, do I want to keep this or chuck it? Like having sort of Marie Kondo moments.
Yes. Oh my God. That's such a great way to describe it.
Like,
does this bring me joy? No, it brings me pain.
Patriarchy. Does this spark joy? Fuck no. And then like a lot of that, it takes a long time because you'll like have thrown out like some obvious, you know, your grandparents die, like, oh, you find all this like Nazi memorabilia, like, oh, obviously you chuck that shit. But then you might find stuff that like is less obviously related to that sort of like system of thought or ideology. And so like it's not as obvious like, oh, I should chuck this. So like we know to chuck out patriarchy, we know to chuck out the idea that like men are like more important and more valuable than women, non-binary, and other non-men people. But there are a lot of like beliefs and attitudes that relate to that are not as obviously chuckable.
Oh yeah, that's such a good point.
And that's why deconstruction can take such a long time.
Right.
And reconstruction is like, I've thrown out everything or like most of the stuff that I wanted to throw away, or just I've thrown away some things that I need replacements for. Mm-hmm. Like that old couch was rotted and moldy and it's gone, but now I need another one, but I don't know what to pick. Reconstruction is like that, but for like our beliefs and practices.
You're so right. You're so right. Because I feel like, you know, at one point someone asked me a question like, how do you feel about the gospel? And I remember that I was frozen and didn't know how to answer and realized that this was something I needed to deconstruct. I thought I was in a phase and a season of reconstruction, and I was, but this was one of the things that I hadn't thought about yet. And so then, I mean, it took, I remember I put a lot of energy and effort into it. I was like exhausted. And then I said, I just need to take a break. And I understand what I don't believe. So maybe I just need to let God fill in the blanks. Like, I'm just going to pray about it, that there'll be some clarity or some comfort. And what I came to was an important aspect of, I think, my faith now and my faith journey as a whole, that questioning is really good, but also feeling comfortable in the unknown is really important, and like is actually a compliment to who God is. And so who God is to me, you know, like or the universe, if we even want to, because I feel like God is sometimes, in talking about God in that way, it feels like we're even putting God in a box by using the term God, like God / the universe / you know, like I just want to put my hands out, like, to try and like explain like how big God is. But yeah, I just feel like when talking about God and big things, like, what does the gospel mean to you now? When that was like the foundation of my faith and my Christianity, it was like, you know, I'm going to try and patiently wait to see if there's an answer, like, of what the gospel means to me now. And that was a really hard growth, a really beautiful growth moment, but a hard one for sure.
Did you ever get to, like a point of reconstruction about that yet?
So, of course it's not, I probably could come to an overly simple like phrase or statement, but I feel like what hits me is, you know, like originally gospel was, you know, Jesus came here, son of man, a son of God, you know, came to die on the cross for our sins and, period, the end, like resurrected. That is like, it's like, this is that we all know this story. And we all know how essential it was to literally fucking everything. And so,
right.
So I feel like, what I came to is actually, instead of accenting the death, accenting the life of Christ. In that Christ came and lived a life of love, and a life of justice, a life of trying to help people to think for themselves and care for others and push back against the systems that oppress people. And by accenting the life that God lived and not the death, I feel like it has really, really healed something for me. It's allowed me to help, like, really relate to Jesus in a way that I couldn't before. And like, the death of Christ has instead been, like, instead of becoming this thing of, like, it was essential, it had to happen, and it was because we're so filthy. And now it was not essential, in my opinion. It happened because governments are shit, but it was a part of the full story of understanding, like, God's love, like Jesus's love. Like, Jesus was willing, I think is the important point there. Like, willing to lay down their life for others, not had to lay down his life. And at least that's what I've come to. And I don't think that that's has to be true for everyone. But with the amount of bloodshed that is utilized in the language of how I was raised and how much we celebrated that bloodshed, it was very, I don't know, very much disconnected with who I am as a person and what I would ever wish for of anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, especially someone that I love and someone that I think loves me.
Yeah, I like all that a lot.
I've never had to... That's interesting. I've never had to summarize that, and it actually felt really good, so thanks for asking me that.
Yeah, of course.
What about you? What was something that was like that for you in terms of your journey? Like something that seemed to be a sticking point that was a much longer process than you thought it was going to be?
Oh, that's a good question.
For me, this last one that I just explained, just for context, was probably like 3 years of like kind of realizing and mm-hmm. even to literally this moment of being able to summarize this thought of where I'm at now.
I think for me, a couple stick out, like definitely the gospel as well. Like I was taught the same sort of like song and dance about the gospel growing up. And for me, that process of deconstruction or reconstruction was realizing that like the story that I've been told doesn't actually reflect like the Bible or Christian history that well in the first place. And so my process of reconstruction was in some ways like going back to like an like a much older understanding of like what are humans for, what is the creation for, what does God want their relationship with all of us to be like. And coming to a place where now I think about the gospel as really central to like my life and ministry, but I see that gospel is a very different thing. Like I see the good news of Jesus Christ as being that like humanity was made for relationship with God and each other. And to mediate that relationship to like the rest of the creation, and that God isn't trying to keep us from having a relationship with themselves. Like it seemed in some of the ways that like older sort of gospel models presented it. Like, oh, I'm God's, and so I have to punish you when you do bad things. I wish I didn't have to, but I'm perfectly just, so I'm going to have to do this. Like the sort of bad focus on the family parents. I wish I didn't have to beat you, but I read this book once, so I'm going to.
The toxic, abusive parent.
Yeah. How many episodes could we do on that one?
Right? Oh my gosh. Oh man.
Oh yeah, gender too. I think that started when I was getting to be a little bit more progressive in my politics and theology, but still like occupied what I would consider still very like conventionally evangelical sort of space. But just the stories that they told us about, you know, what men are, what women are, and the stories they told us about like how everybody's a man or woman, there's nothing else or in between. How those stories broke down kind of the more that you look at them, until eventually like the whole thing falls apart. Like, people outside of evangelical spaces, like, knew this a lot longer than we did. Like, oh yeah, gender social contract. Like, that was revolutionary for me. Was not revolutionary in a lot of circles outside evangelical Christianity. But realizing that the sort of gender roles and the sort of like very like culturally bound ways that evangelicals talked about men and women, and they said these things that were like universals from the beginning of time. It just turns out to be batshit. It just makes no sense, and this whole distortion of like the Bible and human experience and what we know about science and what we know about like the Christian tradition also. And that in many ways, like a more progressive quote-unquote understanding of gender fits a lot better both with Christian tradition and the Bible.
Whew, I feel like there's so many things about our stories and our journey that are similar, and then there are so many things that like are different. And that's why it makes me really excited when we get to have these conversations in community with others, because it's like for some people the gender conversation around God like happened really fast. Like, it was like, right. Oh yeah. Like, of course, God isn't, you know, like, God isn't held to a gender. Like, duh. and then for some of us, I think, like, some of the conversations I've had around that specifically with some people has been, you know, I know I'm not supposed to subscribe to a gender for God, but actually using he, him pronouns is really healing for me because my relationship with my dad was kind of shit. And like, or it's like a trans guy who's like trying to see God, you know, reflected. And so I'm like, yeah, but you're still seeing God as like trans. Like, you're not just seeing God as like a cis white patriarchal man. Like, that's, you know, hetero guy, you know, like, you're, that's not what you're seeing. And so it is kind of pushing that barrier. You're just, it's about like expanding vocabulary sometimes just to like challenge the way that people see God, I think, you know, like recently for me, that has been using she, her pronouns for God. I never really got into it. And it's been in a couple of the songs that I've recently really enjoyed. There's a song called God Is by the Outer Banks. And, it starts off with what God isn't, which is really interesting. It's like, God is never angry. God is not against me. God is never far away. God's not disappointed. God's not, I don't even remember the rest, but it's like, what isn't God? Because that's what we need to hear first. It's really interesting how it's like, even in the song itself, lyrically, it's doing the path of what we do with deconstruction and reconstruction. That's like hitting me right now, actually. I'm just gonna look up the lyrics because it'll help me. It says, God, after it says God's not disappointed, it says God's not keeping score and God's not judging my mistakes. And then the chorus that's like this big and again, it's simple. It's like, God is light. God is love. Do not fear, for God's with us. God is good. God is grace. God will never hide her face. It's the only time that they use a pronoun. And it's so important because it feels very comforting and motherly. You know, like, I've seen videos of babies when they're playing, when you're playing peekaboo with them, you know, or hiding, and like they're scared for a moment. Like, wait, where did my parent go? You know? And then they're happy because they see your face and they're connecting again. And it kind of draws this image for me. And I was realizing recently that I'm becoming more I'm becoming more sadly aware that my relationship with my mom is never going to be what I want it to be. Mm-hmm. And I have so much been able to, like, logically talk with others about the fact that, like, oh yeah, when you talk about God as Father, you know, maybe that helps you with your relationship with your, you know, the way you envision your dad or whatever. It's like, I'm having these conversations. Well, I had like a year and a half ago with a friend, and I remember it feeling profound in that moment, but now it's like hitting me on a personal level. Like, oh, that's why using she, her pronouns for God in this moment is really hitting me so hard. Mm-hmm. And why it's necessary, because I'm having this experience of reconstruction of first experiencing, like, well, God, who is God, and expanding who God is and allowing God to be like this filling in the gaps where my mom hasn't, you know, mm-hmm. been, and accepting that that's okay, that I don't need to leave that space empty just in case my mom decides to get her shit together and start being, you know, there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I feel like it's simultaneously I'm deconstructing my relationship with, like, I've been on such a journey with my mom, and then reconstructing my relationship with God in new ways. So it's just, it's interesting. What I've been going through in terms of that. And I feel like when you talk about, like, when we both talk about, let's be honest, when we both talk about, like, our, you know, perspectives on reconstruction, there's, like, the aspect of it that's very, like, heady and theological, and, like, these are, like, the big, these are, like, the big emphasis things that, like, we needed to work on. But I feel like the constant state of reconstruction that no one talks about is this, like, this, like, aspect of, like, oh, am I always going to be healing some wound?
Hmm. Oh, that's a really good point. In so many ways, these sorts of things, like, they affect how we go through the world so much more than the, like, heady theological stuff. Because, like, a big kind of point of growth for me was when I finally, like, decided to allow myself to grieve the fact that, like, I was never really fathered.
Mm.
And that isn't going to happen for me. Like, I never had a good relationship with my father. Like, we just never understood each other. And there were focus on the family approved dynamics of abuse also.
Right.
That definitely did not help when you're raising, like, a very sensitive child. Sensitive little queer boy. Boy asterisk.
Temporary.
Yeah. Got over it. Everybody goes through phases.
just really B-O-I, boy.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, it was like a mercy to myself to, like, let go of chasing that, because I spent a lot of, like, my teens and 20s trying to find like a replacement father figure. And then at some point, I could probably pinpoint it, but I won't take the time to do that on the air. I just kind of gave it up. Like, you know, this isn't happening. Like, I guess the buck sort of stops with me now. Like, there isn't going to be a man that I can go to just in every circumstance will just tell me what to do. I'm now in like communities that I trust, and I have relationships with older people that I trust, but those relationships are never going to be like father child relationships. Like, one, that would be unhealthy. Two, I don't feel like I need that.
Right.
Like, I did need it, and I didn't get it when I needed it, and going to be healing that from that for possibly forever.
Yeah, right.
but I don't have to keep chasing it. Like, I don't need that for wholeness anymore. Mm. Like, that's a mercy to my father as well. Like, I don't have to keep blaming him for not being a father to me now.
Yeah.
Because I don't need him to be a father to me now. Like, I can just keep him on the hook for being a decent adult to me.
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I feel like that makes a lot of sense to me. Like, I feel like I did the same, like, I feel like my dad got a similar grace, like, probably just because of, like, being sick and disabled. To some extent, there was some understanding. You know, my dad never got diagnosed with being ADHD or bipolar, but I feel like he was definitely somewhere in that spectrum of things. And then you add in all the meds that he was on while he was sick, and you know, it just made we used to say Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, like who are we dealing with right now? You know, and that was kind of like our code. Not so secret code that we used amongst us as kids to kind of like figure out who we were dealing with that day. And a lot of times it had to do with like whether or not he was on a dialysis day or something like that. Mm-hmm. But my mom, man, like my mom, I held to such a higher standard, and I'm sure there's some misogynistic shit there too that I had to like grapple with.
Sure.
And it's been in growing up that I've realized like how hard it is to be an adult, let alone, I imagine, being limited in the faith that you are in and being told like you're not allowed to question, you're not allowed to continue beyond this point if you want to stay in the good graces of this community and this group. And like, I've just had a lot more empathy recently. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, it's allowed me to say, like, it's okay that, you know, it's okay that you're not here right now, Dad. And it's okay that, Mom, you've decided to basically disappear as well. Like text me randomly, links to some Irish Facebook group that she loves things from. I don't even understand. but, like, stop, like, holding against her that, like, we aren't going to have a relationship, really. And I would hope that I want that to change, and I value the moments where we have something that's a little different than the norm. Mm-hmm. But I just, you know, like you said, like, having community, having family, and, being something like a parent to so many folks, and also being cared for and loved, without requirement, like from our community and our family, that our chosen family. It's been a really healing process for me, and allowed me to kind of let go of those things. Mm. And I'm going to say the cheesiest thing. here it comes. And let God.
Oh no.
It's a game. It came.
You didn't.
I did. but actually, because I feel like God really is about consent, and I feel like it really is about letting God in to certain aspects of your life when you're ready, you know. And I think that that's probably the healthier perspective on letting God in, because I feel like the unhealthy perspective has always been like God's a creeper outside the door going like, let me in. Let me in. And you're like, oh God, I'm not ready. Let me in. But
or the like overly passive, like Jesus take the wheel,
yeah,
sort of let go and let God. Like let go and let God by denying your own agency.
Yep. Oh my God, so true. So true. But it feels like since I've been able to heal like certain aspects of who God is, it's like especially because there's a woman in my UCC church. Her name's Patty, and she is like such a great model. I often say that my mother-in-law is like the model of what a mom should be. Like similarly, this woman is that way. And one of the things that she says when she's relating to and thinking about God is like, you know, when I think about my children, she's got a bunch of kids, and she's mostly Catholic until she found UCC. And she's like, when I think about my children, I think about like, there's nothing that they could do that would make them lose my love. Like I just want to be there for them. I want to support them, you know, like, and sure, there are times that I was not the best parent, but like, I feel like I've always wanted to just support them and love them, and whatever makes them happy, I support. And you can tell that that's real. Like this woman is so genuinely open. And she's like, and when I think about God as like an angry patriarchal God that we were like taught, it doesn't add up, because it doesn't make sense with what being like a good parent is. And it's been really good for me to like see like a physical example and reflection of who God is. And I think like something that I've been really specifically right now, what am I reconstructing? Right now, it's been this continued growth of when, and this started because of like this analogy that you gave me several years ago, Jack, like this idea that God is a reflection of each of us, you know, like each of us is a reflection of who God is. And in that way, when we see each other and we see the beauty that each other create in this world, it just supports the idea of like how diverse and beautiful God is. And it like, it's like this really cool cycle of like seeing the world as big and beautiful and beyond anything that you could, like you can't list all the ways that we're different. You can try.
Right.
But we have so many differences and so many in beautiful ways. Like, and when we think about that and think that if we think of God as a creator and we think that God created all of us in their image, we are being able to glorify God in just loving each other and in seeing each other's differences and accepting them. And loving, you know, it's like this really cool cycle of love. And that's just been, for me, it's funny. Like, I remember when I was younger, I used to say, like, I've read this verse, like, so many times, but right now it's hitting me differently. Right now, I feel like it's bigger. And I feel like that's what this is right now for me. Like, it's, I've explained this sort of concept to so many people over several years, and yet it keeps getting bigger for me. Like every time I explain it, I go, oh gosh, that hits me bigger than before. You know? So I'm like healing the relationship around God is love. Because I feel like that was a phrase that I was actually kind of resentful of for a long time. Because I didn't think God was that. At least the way that God was given to me.
Yeah, and so many of the pictures we got growing up were not loving at all.
No, they weren't. And like we were taught, and that was how we were taught, like, well, when our parents spanked us, that was love. And we should be looking, we should right. basically be looking forward to it. Or, which is weird. Probably explains why we all have weird kinks. But yeah, I just feel like there's so many ways in which that kind of toxic relationship was modeled to us and justified abusive behavior. And I think like because of the Me Too movement and church too, like there's so many like things that have started to like over the last 5 years even have started to come to light even more. And it's like it's hard to deny it. Like,
yeah,
it would be ridiculous to deny it, in my opinion. Someone said to me yesterday, if you are a woman or you have been socialized as female in church, there's no way that you can deny that there is toxic behavior that is supported there. And I agree. Like, I feel like if you're like the privileged, you know, cis white hetero guy, like you can pretend you don't see it. Like you can absolutely be, you know, try to be blind to it. But like, if you're someone who is victimized by the system, like there's no way you can deny it.
Well, you can because they made us, right?
Yes. I just mean like in your deepest of hearts, like, like down, down deep, no matter how much what's coming out of your mouth says, no, that's not what's happening. There's got to be like a part of you that says, well, that was just a one-time thing. And that was just that one guy.
Yeah.
And that wasn't, you know, like that's where you're confused. That's where it's like you're justifying a moment because it's so many, like I can't, like I could literally, you know, spit and hit someone that's been victimized by the church, you know, yeah. And I can't spit that far. I haven't tried.
If you were socialized as a boy, you would. Boys do the dumbest shit. I wanted to be playing with dolls, goddammit.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's why they gave you G.I. Joes. But yeah, then you turned out gay. Gay as shit.
They, and like the X-Men dolls, they looked hot under those clothes.
They did.
I'll tell you what. A lot of what you're talking about, knocking some things loose for me. Like, like for me, the sort of like let go and let God stuff, like to me points to Reconstruction being in some ways like not the best image. Like I'm not architecturally inclined like at all, but it points to like the, you know, the creation of something artificial. It was like, for me, Reconstruction was the opposite. It was finding like what was most natural to me, like in my like specificity in like who I am, and in my sort of general, like I'm a human being, a spiritual being, embodied being. For me, Reconstruction was like, it wasn't like building up a building that had been torn down. It was like, do you ever play with a slinky as
a
kid?
Of course. Love
like
slinkies.
A metal one, and like you play with it the wrong, well, quote unquote wrong way, and like it gets all fucked up like so easily.
Yeah.
And it takes fucking forever to like uncoil it once it's been all knotted together. But like that was what Reconstruction was for me, like figuring out, like, I have this thing that, like, is amazing, and it got fucked up somehow, and partly that was my fault, and partly it was not my fault. And like, how do I figure out what the shape of this, or, you know, I know it's supposed to be a slinky, but like, how do I figure out how to get this into the sort of shape that it's supposed to be?
Right.
But in Reconstruction, or like a puzzle, like there's a puzzle, but there's no like picture on the box. Hmm. Like, how do I figure out sort of how these things are all supposed to fit together? And it, during the process of Reconstruction, like I've discovered more and more about the person that I'm, that I feel like I'm supposed to be. Hmm. And I've discovered that by like becoming that person to a greater and greater degree. And like, they're experiencing all these big or little like aha moments, like, oh yeah, like that was important to me all along, or like, yeah, that maybe should have been important to me all along, but like it wasn't until now. And I talked about, I use the kind of puzzle analogy, but in some ways, like each of us is a sort of a puzzle piece, and we listened to like all sorts of really shitty advice, and we tried to bend ourselves to become what we thought was the right shape, and that kept us from fitting in with the people around us the ways that we were supposed to. Mm. And when we just like, when you said let go and let God, I thought of what God told Paul in Acts when he knocks him on his ass. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. But like, mm-hmm. God is calling us, pushing us to be the people that we're supposed to be. And a lot of spiritual growth is just stopping resisting those little divine pushes and pulls until we sort of like get to be the more like the puzzle piece we're supposed to be. And then like, look, there's all these other people being their authentic selves, and we can fit to them in authentic ways. Like the relationships that I have now, like, well, they weren't easy. Like they took a lot of work, but also they're so much more authentic and fulfilling than the sorts of relationships that I had when I was trying to be what everybody else expected me to be.
Hmm. That's a word. I've recently taken up that phrase. My friend Jazz says it, and it's good. That's a word. I love that, Jack. I'm going to sit here on that for a second. It's funny when you brought up the slinky analogy. I kept thinking about how we never had enough money to get the metal slinkies. So they'd always give us the plastic ones, and we'd end up breaking them in half. Every time we'd end up coiling them the wrong direction, we'd end up accidentally breaking them. Mm. So that analogy for me, I was like, or you just completely break it open and you have to rebuild. You pull out, you're like, okay, you know, maybe we could do something else with this. It makes me think of our friends who are like, who've, you know, decided to say, you know, I'm done with all ideas of Christianity. I think that Jesus Christ was a cool guy, and I think that there's some great lessons to learn from him, but I'm gonna take up with this like witchy stuff, and I'm gonna like, I need structure the way that I needed it in, you know, in my Christian faith. But so I'm going to take up paganism, and I'm going to do this, or, you know, some people are able to pair it with their Christianity, and some people totally mm-hmm. have to just close the door on that, you know? And I think like the God that I believe in now leaves space for that. Like,
yeah,
the God that I believe in now isn't that a healthy, you know, parent figure who isn't trying to decide what I'm going to do or what we're going to do with our lives. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, I think about especially those of us that are millennials, like so many of our parents were like, this is the path. This is what you're going to do. And I think that's because that's what their boomer parents did. You know, like right. boomer parents were the worst at that. Like my mom was a brilliant actress and singer and was awarded many times in high school. Like could have gone on to do more theater and like it was her passion, but her dad wouldn't pay for anything other than nursing school, you know? And like, I think my mom had a fulfilling time in that career and like it was helpful for us logistically. And she's a great nurse because she cares well for people, but I don't know that that would have been her. I know that that wouldn't have been her first choice. Like, for, and what that resulted in is my parents being different than most of my friends' parents and saying like, do what God's called you to do. Like do what's on your heart, you know? And I think like that was one of the healthy parent moves that they did that I think is like similar to how, when we think about God in that way, like, God is, like you said, nurturing us towards growth and like to be our authentic selves, to be who we are. Like that's really the only thing that is like clear and true. Like God's like, be authentic, be true to you, be honest, be good, be caring, like show grace for each other. Like not... Mm-hmm. Hey, so I've made this perfect mold and I kind of left out some key ingredients and it's now you're going to go on a scavenger hunt to find those ingredients so that you can now, so you can eventually maybe fit the mold that I actually want you to fit in.
Right.
Right? It's like, does that sound like a loving God to you? No, that sounds like one of those fucking horror movies that you watch where they're like, you have this much time to get these things or you're out, you know, like, and right. guess what? I'm going to be behind you the entire time chasing you. Yeah, it just doesn't add up. It doesn't, it just doesn't. That's the, it's so true that was what we were given.
Mm-hmm.
While being told all the time how merciful and loving God was. You know, and so it's interesting in having conversations. We've brought this up a lot like before, but like I recently had a TikTok video go, mildly viral. And because of that, I've had, you know, of course, not just the good side of, of TikTok, but like the shitty side of people commenting and saying, you know, really, really horrible things. And I've just taken to responding to them in like, mostly sarcastic ways. And like, but some of the times I've used it as a moment for, talking from the heart. But what I really know is that no matter what I say, the people who are, you know, spouting this shit and believing what they believe aren't going to understand what I have to say because our perspectives are so fucking different.
Right.
Like our gods are so different. We both call ourselves Christians, but our faiths are so different.
Right.
Like we'd have to start from ground zero and take a long fucking time. My like 60 second to 90 second video is not going to change your fucking mind. I mean, it might be one little footprint in many footprints that eventually get you to a point of reconstruction, but probably not.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's an interesting thing to be in a faith like Christianity or a religion, I should say, in this place, a religion like Christianity and have such vastly different perspectives, but to also know that I came from that, you know, hence the deconstruction, hence the reconstruction. So like part of me has that hope that eventually anyone can, but I got the gift of my queerness to get here faster.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking as you were talking about some of these like online hecklers, like I think sometimes when we come across people sort of out in the wild and like, you know, interact with them for a few seconds and it becomes clear like right away, this is a slinky that's all twisted up. Mm. it can be hard to know like whether is this a slinky who's like trying hard to untwist themselves, but like they've been through like a lot of things, it's going to take a lot. Or is this a slinky who's like actively working to get themselves more twisted and is trying to do the same to people around them? Because on the surface, I feel like sometimes people can look identical, like they can be doing the same sorts of things. But like, are they doing this because primarily, like often it's a mix of both, but are they doing it primarily because they're a victim or they're a victimizer?
I've been watching too much Doctor Who. My head just went to like the Daleks. I don't know if you watched.
Oh yeah, yeah. August has just gotten me into it recently.
We started back on it. We were off it for at least 6 months, and we just started back in it again. And the Daleks are a race that has been able to like delete emotion, but what they actually are is humans. From like, or at least I think that, gosh, you Doctor Who fans are going to come at me. I think, okay, you can correct me. Send me a message.
Claim them in the comments.
It's either that I'm ruining everything or I'm totally wrong. Just so you know, that's why I'm putting this at the end of the episode. Anyway, they were a race that I think was human-like for fucking ever ago. And they did have emotion and they did have caring and they did, you know, all those things, but eventually they got thwarted. And it's just interesting to think about in your analogy, because that's where they like go around and like they kill people and then they convert them. Mostly they kill people, but I think, oh, you know who I'm thinking of who converts them is the
Cybermen.
Yes. What are they called? Is that what they're called? Cybermen? Okay, yeah. Those guys, they convert them. So it's like such an interesting, I don't know, I love sci-fi, but like, this specific brand of sci-fi, it comes with such committed fans. I know I'm going to fuck it up. But yeah, that's where my head goes when you're saying all of that. And you're talking about the slinky analogy and the folks of who are coming, you know, thinking that they know exactly the only way, the right way. When in truth, they're just trying to get you to match them.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's so interesting. I feel like this is a much bigger topic than can be fit into one episode, but I think we did a really good job of like attempting to talk about it.
We'll call this Reconstruction Part 1.
Right? Because we know another one's coming.
Part 2, TBD. We'll get it when we feel like it.
Right? Oh my gosh. Well, I would love to ask like our fans, and I know a lot of our fans are also our friends and folks that like are in our Discord community. If you don't know, we have a Discord community. Feel free to look at our website at lavmafia.com or go to... we even on our Instagram at Lav Mafia, we have a Linktree link that shows you an invite to a Discord, as well as many other things that you can be a part of, including our Patreon. But our Discord community is like, you know, hopping. Like we got some great folks in there who are just really loving and supportive. And I love when they start riffing on the podcast. So I'd just be curious, y'all, like and if you're not in the Discord community, feel free to like email us or jump on or whatever if you have a thought on this. But with Reconstruction, like for you, number one, like what was like one of your biggest hang-ups that you were able to eventually land on something that you feel good and like positive about? Or is there something that you would love for us to talk about specifically around Reconstruction? Like, I think we riffed a lot on the gospel, and we riffed a lot on God and the concept of who God is and gender and a few other things, but I know there's a lot of other stuff in the subject of Reconstruction, and I know we'd love to talk about it. So if you have any thoughts, feel free to send them over to us at thelavendermafia@gmail.com or message us on Instagram or even on Twitter at @LavMafia. Jack manages that. So
yeah, on Twitter, while Twitter is still a thing.
Right? Seriously.
We'll see how much longer it's a thing.
Oh my gosh.
And if you love what we're doing or wish we had the financial support to do it better, go ahead and log on to patreon.com/LavMafia and support us if you can. Trying to get all of our possible sort of donor streams.
Seriously, it's like, man, you really gotta get your shit together, Jack and Jess. Like, I need to get my fill of Lab Mafia. And we get that, like, so every little bit counts in terms of getting us to get our shit together, so we appreciate it. but thank you for the grace you've given us with our mutual ADHD and also our lives being crazy, because we love doing this and we want to keep doing it. But
absolutely.
All right. Well, be fierce, keep the faith,
and don't fuck it up. Our amazing music is written and produced by Evan Coles of Springwood Productions. Speaking of Springwood, I just want to thank them for recording, mixing, and producing our audio. Without them, this podcast wouldn't be happening. Springwood is made up of passionate creatives who are really easy to work with and professional, and they really know their stuff. So if you need anything like video or audio production, or they can really do anything to help your music or business. Like, they got me Taco Bell one time, for God's sake. So go check them out at springwoodproductions.com.